Hello and welcome to a Touchdown Fracker podcast. I'm your host, Lewis. It's been a pretty dead week of football, to be honest, but, you know, we're going to go along with the pod anyway. This week we've got, one new guest and one sort of like half new guest. So let's just introduce the regulars before we start and get the pod cracking. We've got Io. How you doing?
Good afternoon. Evening.
Yeah, it's definitely evening. It would have been afternoon if we weren't waiting for you lot all night, but yeah. Kane, how you doing, mate?
Bonjour tout le monde, ça va?
Oh, for God's sake. Axe?
Mickey, there's no lighters here. You don't need to put on the French accent in it, for sure. Yeah, I'm cool.
The semi-new guest is Yas. How you doing, mate?
He heard French before. I must have got to the wrong Skype conversation.
Yeah, so Yas, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, fine, thank you, man. How you doing, guys?
And yeah, we're good. And our new guest today is Shay, the Arsenal fan, and she is a lady.
Well, you did say she, so...
Did I give it away?
I thought I gave it away, maybe.
Okay.
Lewis is very excited. Does it go on the pod, bub? No.
Listen, I got my excitement out of the way last week when we had our female guest on, Phoenix. But, yeah... Shay, you don't do any singing or anything, do you?
No, I don't sing, no.
See, we needed some intro.
Nothing for Lewis to masturbate to.
Listen, mate, my missus listens to this pod. Babe, I don't masturbate to people singing, okay?
Babe, wow.
Babe, you know.
Oh, I'm talking to my missus listens to the pod, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been like an interesting start to the pod. All right, cool. We'll start with, we're just going to go through some questions since there's absolutely F all going on, other than England struggling against Belarus in the under 21s. Well, actually, let's start with the under 21s then. I've got a question here from CFC O'Brien. He asks, should England's under 21s involve anyone that already has a full international cap? So there's quite a few of them in this current squad, namely Harry Kane. What do you guys think? The more experience, the better for these players, or do you think we should actually be giving less experienced players a go at the under 21 level?
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with it as long as there's a nice amount of balance. I think having players that have played at the senior level can give valuable experience to the ones that have not been there yet, especially at tournament level. Just give a little bit of guidance, a little bit of experience to pass on, and maybe they've not been able to cut it out at the senior level. Maybe they are capable of playing there, but they have their chances restricted due to players that are starting over them. So it'll be good to get international experience at maybe a step down, because under 21 level is a valuable place to play as well, as you can see with some of the Germany World Cup winners and some of the Spain players as well. So I'm all for it, personally speaking.
Mm. Is there anyone who isn't for it?
I'm for it, but the thing is, for me, there's a difference between someone who has a senior cap and someone who's a fully fledged first team senior international. I'm all for people who've had caps. So someone like Harry Kane is on the periphery of the squad at the moment. He's not really, you can't say he's a fully fledged international as of yet, because he's still got Sturridge, Rooney, etc. ahead of him. Mm. But someone like Jack Wilshere, for example, he's a fully fledged England senior international. I don't see the point in involving someone like him in under 21 tournaments. I hear a lot of people say like, "Oh, but look at Spain, other countries and Spain, and they do it." At the end of the day, Spain have an amazing first team. So Thiago wasn't a fully fledged senior international when he was involved in the under 21 team. Mm-hmm. If he was, he might have been considered, but he might not. But the thing is, I'm quite worried about sort of the fatigue of the players from a medical standpoint or a scientific standpoint, because the Premier League is a very harsh league with no winter break. If you're basically asking these players who are fully fledged first team internationals to do senior tournaments and under 21 tournaments, I don't think that's good on their bodies long term. So I think if they're fully fledged senior internationals, they shouldn't be included. If they're not really in the squad but they get a few caps here and there, then yes, they should, because that's how they sort of build experience, etc.
Well, just a follow-up question to that. Weeps AFC asked, which player in the under-21 squad has the highest ceiling at the moment?
That's quite hard to say. Like, that's quite difficult because I don't think all of us would have watched them extensively. Like, for example, I think before the podcast, we were talking about someone like Garbutt. I don't think all of us have watched Garbutt sort of extensively to really evaluate his ceiling. But out of the ones we know, I think Loftus-Cheek is up there.
Yeah.
I think Pritchard is up there, personally, because I've watched him quite extensively. But those would be the two that I would sort of pick out as probably the highest potential. Maybe James Ward-Prowse, but I haven't really watched the whole squad extensively.
Oh. I know. I think, of course, a lot of the players that none of us get to watch quite a lot, to be fair. So, like, in terms of... like, especially somebody like... like, we were speaking about Garbutt. Like, I didn't even know that he even played for Everton, for example. But I've seen him quite a few times on the 21. Like, he looks like a really good player with, like, a dirty left foot. But, like, I don't know. I'm not too sure about Kane. I think Kane could, like, really go places. Like, I really like his mentality. But I don't know. Quite a lot of people seem to think he's a one-hit wonder. But I do think he's got quite a high ceiling, because if you've got mentality like that, I think you can really go places. And he seems like he's got the right tools in terms of physique and fitness, etc. And he's got good strikes, so he's got quite decent technique on him. But I'll probably say, from what I've watched, Loftus-Cheek, like he looks like a role player for the Chelsea youth. So probably him.
I think Berahino's better than Kane. I know that's controversial. I think Berahino's got more abilities than Harry Kane does.
I was going to say Berahino as well. I was just looking at the list of the under-21 squads, and I don't really know many of them, but from the people that I do know, like, I like Berahino's technique on the ball, and during the Premier League this year, he scored a lot of great goals, especially I think the last one I saw him score. I'm not sure if it's my BLC. It was like...
Oh, yeah, that was a good goal, actually.
Yeah. I know Kane has scored a lot more goals than Berahino, but... Berahino hasn't really got the anywhere near the props Kane has got, has he? I know he's
if you put Berahino
through season and stuff, but
if Berahino got his move to Liverpool, I think we'd be having a different conversation right now.
Mm.
Agreed. If he went to a bigger club, you would see more of him, I think. But yeah. I think he should stay at Stoke for the time being anyway. I think
West Brom manager
he's got
West Brom
is right for him. Did I say?
You said Stoke.
Oh yeah, West Brom.
It's okay. We'll blame it on the nerves, not your sex.
Wow.
Oh, Lewis, come on, bro. But yeah, go on. So
we're all for equality and whatnot, aren't we?
No,
bro. Stop shuffling, bro. Stand by your comment. Stop shuffling, bro. Stand by your comment.
Yeah, stand by your joke. Be a man.
Nah. Listen, I said we'll blame it on the nerves. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. this is a strange podcast.
It's about to heat up. I can feel it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Okay. All right. Okay. So let's leave the England under 21 squad, because that's like a no go. No one really cares, I don't think. But the under 21 tournament is due to start in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's next week.
Is it the Euros, right?
Yeah.
We'll see how we get on one day. I think Germany are looking quite strong there. Okay, I've got a few questions about Man City, actually. JSK Ware, he asks, could we discuss Al Mubarak's comments about City now being a desirable destination for top players and no longer needing to overspend the top to attract the top talent? So,
I agree with him, you know.
You think?
Yeah.
He was saying he reckons they could compete with the likes of Man United, Chelsea, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich.
I'm not too sure about, like, if it was like a straight, like, kind of pick-em scenario. But, like, then again, there's certain mitigating factors. Like, say if the players, like, maybe Argentinian, and they may have a good relationship, like Aguero, Di Michaelis, obviously Pellegrini and Zaba, then he might want to go there, or the player just really likes the team. But I think just in a general case where in previous years, they probably had to pay slightly over the odds in terms of, like, and they compensate for the lack that they can't really offer, I don't know, maybe like an amazing stadium, great reputation for the player, but they can offer more money in that sense. But I don't think they have to do it anymore, because they're now established Champions League. They've been in it like a few seasons in a row. commercially, they start to become big right now. And they've got a really good team. So I think, like, say, like a player like a Kevin De Bruyne type player, who would usually, when he's moving again, would probably usually go to one of the big boys. If Man City was to pay the money, or something like Pogba, I think that he will, that they will go there for opportunity to play in the Premier League and to play for one of the challenging teams in the Champions League and in the Premier League. Whereas in previous years, like, people like Kaká have turned them down just purely because of money or not, he just didn't think they were that type of club. So I do agree. I think they're here now.
I think definitely on just on that, they've definitely got themselves to a level where they now have kind of cemented themselves as challengers within the Premier League, especially, and more, and obviously now the Champions League. So, like I touched on, when Kaká was doing, when they applied for, I tried to bid for Kaká, I think there was 100 million they actually bidded, wasn't it?
Something stupid. They offered him like £300
a week. Yeah, they offered him like three. Yeah, and he was just like, no. And obviously, then he went to Madrid for, pretty much half that.
Half it, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think now they're at that level where they've kind of established where they've actually got a couple world class players in their squad as well.
Yeah.
That have been there for a couple of years, so it's not like people are going there and flopping. They're actually still doing a good job, like Aguero, your Silvers, and things like that.
And exactly. And they no longer need to maybe overspend, like pay over the odds for players just to tempt them into a move, so they could probably get players at market rates, even though they did buy Boney for 30 million, which is quite a crazy one.
I don't think they're there yet, you know. I don't think they're there yet. Like, I think
they're getting there.
What is there by your standards?
Okay, I think there will always be a pull for the traditionally prestigious clubs because of the history and things like that. Because I think if sort of Liverpool sort of come up now and were competing, I think Liverpool would always be a more attractive destination than Man City. But at the moment, obviously, because they're competing at the moment, like, and they've been competing and they've got, so you know Man City are going to challenge for the Premier League, you know they're going to be in the Champions League, that is a draw for players. But then obviously if it comes between a straight choice of the other more prestigious clubs in that, in sort of Man United, Chelsea, because they've had a long history even though it's only kind of short, and then Arsenal, then I think they're probably going to probably choose Chelsea and Man United over Man City. Because
what about Arsenal?
They're both Arsenal. No, I think they'll probably choose Man City over Arsenal because they've got more chance to compete. But I do think they're still not quite up there when it comes to a straight choice.
That is what I was kind of touching on at the start. Obviously, if it wouldn't be a straightforward pick, but if there was a thing where Man City probably put a bid in, they probably would very be open to that option of going to Man City.
If a club
like Bayern Munich or obviously Real Madrid or even Man United came across, then obviously that'd probably be first choice for them. But obviously Man United's case, depending on who the manager is in at the time, that could also affect things.
Yeah. So pretty much.
And I also,
go on.
I think it's an elite club. I think it's like United, Bayern, and the two Spanish giants. And I think Chelsea kind of knocking on the doors of that kind of.
I think
of
United
elite.
Are up there.
Yeah, definitely.
What, with Barcelona and Real Madrid? Yeah, obviously, Barcelona and Real Madrid always have the advantage because of location.
But in terms of, I think there's two tiers, and also, there's
a lot of players that traditionally, like with the Brazilians, a lot of like the top Brazilians have always gone to Barcelona. There's certain traditions in place where I think that doesn't benefit like the British clubs.
At the end of the day, it's the Latin players who are generally at the moment at the top of the game, and the Latin players are going to be in terms of like say a lot of the Scandinavian players and a lot of the British players and stuff, Man United is up there. Like, it's just that they've got different groups. Like, a lot of the German players will probably prefer to go Bayern Munich and Barcelona. It depends on where they're from. But Man United are definitely up there.
I do think Chelsea are like really knocking on the door of that.
They are, because they're in London.
Yeah, they're in London. I think they've been really successful, and obviously they've got.
And now they've got Mourinho as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that kind of adds. So I do think there's like a level below that, and I think that there's like the Arsenal, obviously Chelsea, Juventus. Well, Milan used to be there. I think Milan are probably still there. Like they're about to get Jackson Martinez. But I think Man City were even a level below that. That's worth to pay stupid fees to get that type of player. But now I think they're at a level where and PSG have reached that level where they can now get a player based on merit, not just on, not just literally just cash.
Mm. Cool. So, if using the top four in England, who would you say is the most attractive club to join? So, essentially, if a player, if all four clubs bidded for the same player, same wages, same valuation, and it was just a straight choice down to the four clubs, who do you think that player would be more likely to join?
Probably Chelsea or Man United.
Chelsea or United.
Probably Chelsea. Yeah.
I think it really depends on the player. I think it depends on the player.
Yeah, because I think people on the player, are kind of dismissing how much pull Wenger has. Like, Wenger's a very respected coach in world football. And aside from Mourinho, he alone can make the difference in attracting top quality players. Just as like his I've heard and I've read a lot of stories about him being charming and how in negotiations now they have Dick Law, whoever, do the transactional side of things now. And in terms of convincing the player on a 1v1 basis, they just get Wenger just to get in and just talk to him. So I think
but how many times has there been a situation where it's been like a straight pick'em and Arsenal have come out trumps?
Well,
it was under different financial.
True. That's actually true. But yeah, no, I do hear you though. But I think like you have to look at a variety of things. I think it's quite hard to make a clear choice because like players move for a variety of reasons. Maybe there's a manager they like or the city. Obviously, that comes from your family, the level of the fans club.
I think in the favour of Chelsea, you've got Mourinho, they're champions, they're in London, and they, you know, I think that's a big part of it. But you also have to look at the other side of things. Go on.
Yeah.
I was just going to say on that point with Chelsea, if you want to go Chelsea, you'd probably have to be an exceptional player to actually believe you're going to get in that team straight away. Because you've got players like, for instance, they're going to spend however much on Juan Cuadrado. Now he just sits on their bench. Literally, that's what he does.
That was a strange signing for me, though, man.
So, I mean, he could have easily gone to another club. I think he was even linked with United at one point, where he probably would have come and got games.
Go on, Shane.
I was just going to say, I think right now as well, with even though Man United are an elite club, I feel like they're in a transition as well. It's after the season they've just had, they have to like do exceptionally well next season, and is that a certainty? I don't think it is.
But I think that would be a point for someone to actually go and say, I'm going to be the man to step up and take this team forward. Whereas going to Chelsea, you won't necessarily have that same opportunity, you know, to take this front stage of the squad. Whereas a world class player
if that's too much to do with the players they have. Maybe that's just to do with Mourinho as a coach, because I don't really think.
Yeah, he rotates a lot.
Yeah, he doesn't rotate at all, does he, Mourinho? And
barely rotate.
I do think it depends on the player because, like I remember last summer we were having debates like, why would somebody want to go Man United, blah blah blah. It just depends on the player. Like for example, certain players believe in themselves, as Yasser said that. For example, like somebody like Mesut Ozil, like with no disrespect to Arsenal, but he was at Real Madrid, the biggest club in world football, and he was a starter there and starter for a World Cup possibly challenging team at the time in Germany. So some would have thought, like, why would he go to Arsenal? But he obviously believes himself that, and he believes in the manager that he could elevate that team to achieve.
And he got booted out.
Well, yeah, he did get booted out, but don't mean that he could have.
But I agree with you because obviously, but for someone like him, it's always going to be, why did he leave? It's always going to be a down step for him in regards to the view of everyone else, because obviously he's at the best club in the world, you know, in theory. So it was always going to be, is Arsenal the right club for him? But obviously, I don't think he would have had the same impact if he went to another one of the top four clubs, so to speak.
No, it depends. It's all variable. But I do think, I'm just saying that my point is that certain players have different motivations to go into a club. But if we're going to pull them all together, it's probably most likely to be Chelsea number one or Chelsea United number one, depending on the player. And then probably, I don't know, even Man City and Arsenal, I still think it's quite... I think it's all quite close. All I know is that nobody finna go to Liverpool. That's just why.
One thing I think people overlook is like, I think a lot of players will probably look at the players at the team they're going to and just think, do I want to play with them? Are they wavy players?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, that's what I think.
For example, like Nasri was saying he wanted to go City because of Silva and Aguero. like, and he wanted to play with players like that. And obviously that shit-faced Van Persie said he wanted to go United because of Paul Scholes and stuff like that.
Hello.
But, that's because of the little boy inside, isn't it?
For the money.
You offered him money as well. You could offer him money as well, B. Did Man City offer him a lot of money as well?
Yeah, they did, bro. But yeah, the little boy inside, little boy said he wants to go to United, bro.
Yeah, the little boy inside him.
Yeah, the little boy's a cunt.
Yeah.
But the little boy's got a wavy life.
Where's that little boy now, eh?
He's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's sitting there in the Premier League title, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I know he's jealous right now. Good for him. FA Cups, isn't it? He's so jealous right now.
No, good for him.
Yeah, he's fine.
He sold his soul for one Premier League title. Good for him.
Cool. How's Welbeck? He's cool.
Welbeck's on course, mate.
Okay, cool. Akan, what do you think of Welbeck?
Don't
run. Because you're telling me to send him out on loan, you know.
Let's leave
let's
that.
Let's stop right there. No. We're not going to get into this. Not today, please.
Yeah.
No, I thought. Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Just sticking on sort of like the global stage and clubs ranking amongst the elite. I've got a question here from Jeremy Andreo. He asks, is Hazard and Mourinho, assuming they stay at Chelsea, is it the beginning of Chelsea becoming a global force like Barca and Real?
No.
And I've got this a question. Guys, let me just interjoin these two questions. I've got another one from Mo Sherwa. He asks, what do Bayern, Real and Chelsea need to do to overtake Barca in the coming seasons? So
keep on doing what they're doing and just execute. Like, they're not exactly far. What I'll say,
it's not happening. Messi,
the reason why they can't be a global power just yet is because they don't have the culture and the history of the Bayern Munich
or the commercial power.
That's that. But I think a lot of what people don't seem to understand is there's an intangible aspect of football that appeals to non-supporters of that team and to players too. When people put on a white shirt of Real Madrid, it's not just the fact of the commercial power and the money and even the recent relative success. It's Real Madrid. Chelsea don't have that history. Even Arsenal don't have that history. You know what I mean? All those teams that are in the tier below, they could win the Champions League season. It still won't make them as big as Barcelona and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich. That's something that takes generations to create. So
definitely,
in that respect, they have to catch up without Real Madrid and Barcelona, Bayern Munich and Manchester United increasing their own success. They literally have to overtake. So that's the first part. The second part of that question is, listen, as good as Barcelona was, and they were amazing, all right, the gulf isn't that far.
It's not.
Between who? Madrid and the rest of them? Barcelona and the rest of them?
Between Madrid, Bayern Munich and Chelsea. Chelsea are very capable of beating Barcelona. They're probably the perfect team to beat Barcelona. In a sense. So even Bayern Munich, what could have been the result
they
have
to
had?
Do? Yeah. What would Chelsea have to do?
I think what he said, execute. I agree with him.
Just execute better.
If you watch the two Real Madrid games versus Barcelona, Real Madrid won the game, and the second game was very, very close. In fact, Real Madrid had so many chances to go 2-1 up, but they missed the chances, then obviously Barca went 2-1 up. Like, I do think, we're forgetting that day, Real Madrid went on a rampage. But it was obviously Ancelotti's fault in not rotating. They'll start getting injuries at the wrong time and ended up hurting their season. Same thing with Bayern Munich. They'll start getting injured at the wrong time. So, but obviously Barcelona, they're obviously going to be the team to beat. With that front three, they're too clear.
Yeah, they're 100%. They're the team to beat.
I don't think there's a gap. I think
you don't think there's a gap between Chelsea and Barca?
I think there's a gap. I think there's a big three. I don't think Chelsea are able to rest those teams.
What was the question again? Sorry.
The first question was, can you see Hazard and... Well, if Hazard and Mourinho stay, can Chelsea become a global force like Barca and Real? So we've answered that. We said no, because they don't really have the history, the heritage and whatnot.
Do you know another thing that makes Barca unique is they don't just go out and spend big money on players. They're always bringing in youngsters through the academy into the team as well. As combine them with these stars that they do bring in. Yeah. Madrid don't do that. Madrid have the youngsters, they come through and they just sell them. And they try to buy them back, hoping they can get them back. Chelsea haven't really brought any of their youngsters through. Most of them have been bought stars.
That's what I'm saying.
With Barca, that's the thing that separates them from it. There's still that culture.
Now, I don't disagree, but I would say people underrate how much Bayern Munich do it as well. And obviously Man United to a certain degree. Bayern Munich are pretty good.
Bayern are pretty good at buying all the German players. Because a lot of the players that even at other German clubs, they all end up at Bayern Munich.
No, I agree with you, but there's like, I think people underestimate. I'm talking more to the recent generation anyway. Those are, you know, Lahm, Schweinsteiger, who else? Alaba,
Müller.
Who else? Müller. Like, that's four first teamers. It's four first teamers. So, I mean.
No, Neuer's from Schalke, isn't it? Yeah, Neuer's
from Schalke. I mean, I think for me, again, the thing which, even aside from the youth aspect of it, Bayern Munich have heritage, you know. They have heritage. Real Madrid, even though they do that, they have heritage. I think, and that takes generations to build. And even Barcelona, like, people seem to forget that's recent. So it's not exactly like you'd have to wait decades to what, you know, to get there. Like, Barcelona only won their first European Cup in the late 80s.
92.
It was 92, sorry. So it's very, very recent. And they've got five. So,
yeah, but that's...
I completely disagree with all of you. Like, I think as long as Lionel Messi is alive, I don't think that no one's closing the gap. They might beat them. They're very capable of beating them. Anyone can beat anyone in a game of football, but to be levels with them, it's very difficult because, one, Barcelona have, by in my opinion, the best players, and two, they have the best player who's by far and away taken them to a new level. So, like, Lionel Messi is the difference between everyone else and Barcelona. Like, Lionel Messi is always the difference, and he will be the difference, and he'll be the difference for until he retires. But, like, so I just don't see them catching... I don't see them catching up because they've just got that special player, bruv.
So you think they're going to win the treble every season?
Not going to win the treble every season. They might lose, but they'll still be one of the best teams.
They'll always be
the best team. But the thing is, consistently, over a period, I still think Barca will be the best team of this generation and the next sort of 5 years.
Yeah, I agree. But I just don't think they'll dominate.
And about bringing youngsters through, I think, like... it's generational. So Barca, okay, fair enough. Everyone's saying they bring youngsters through. They just had a golden generation. They had like 3 years of just amazing players who came through at once. Do you think that's going to carry on in the next 20 years? I don't think so. I think Barca will move away from this always bringing through players because I think, say, another batch, the next one will come through, will not be good enough. So they'll have to buy players in to keep at that level. And I think other clubs may have a generation that come through. I just think they've just been quite lucky.
I don't disagree with you, Nuris, but I don't. But if you got to remember, with Barca, they're not flooding a whole squad of youngsters into the squad. They're obviously handpicking the ones that are obviously good enough for the level. So where you said, obviously, they've been lucky enough to have a bunch, if you look at all the players that have actually come through their system, they're not all the same age. They're coming through at different ages. So you got, for instance, you had Xavi come through, then you got Iniesta, who's probably, what, 3-4 years younger than Xavi? 4 years younger than Xavi? Now you got the next lot. You got Busquets, who's probably another 3 years younger than Iniesta even. Then you've got, obviously, you can't forget about Messi, and obviously they've always got someone coming through. It's not like for instance when the United team in 99 where all of those guys were basically the same age and they just come through as a golden generation. These guys are continuously producing someone every single time to join the current squad of players as well as the stars they're bringing in each season. For instance, this season they brought in Suarez, last season it was Neymar, but they've also been bringing youngsters through at the same time.
Okay. When I said golden generation, I didn't just mean sort of just like 1 year. I meant sort of like a period of like a 10-year period or something like that of good players that they produced. But do you think, my point was, in 20 years, like looking at the Barcelona youth now, or in 10 years, let's say, over the next 10 years, do you think they'll produce the same calibre or the same amount of quality players that they have in this 10 years? I think it'll be vastly different.
I disagree.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm not sure.
With clubs like Real and Barca, they're always going to have an advantage of gaining, especially because of the laws, I think, over there. They can actually bring in players from Brazil and South American players from under-18s into their countries. We can't do that over here. So they're always going to have that advantage. So, like, for instance, when you've got the likes of Messi, if Messi wasn't, you know, if Messi wanted to come over here when he was, however, what, 12 when he went to Barca or whatever he was, it wouldn't be allowed. That's why, for instance, when the De Silva twins were bought for Man United, they had to go and play in Belgium for 2 years before they can come over here. Because they can't play in England until they're 18 if they're foreign. Whereas over there in Spain, they don't have that rule in place, so they're always going to have the advantage of getting these youngsters in.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
All right, guys, let's leave that there because I think that topic's just dragging a little bit. Joshy Essex asks, what are our thoughts on BT acquiring the Champions League for the next 3 years?
As long as they have Ricky Savage in charge.
Listen. Let me jump in on right. It's getting to the point now where regular consumers are... Yeah.
What?
Good point, Kane. Good point. Go on, Faye. You were going to say something anyway.
I was going to say, I think for football, maybe it's a good thing that ITV and Sky Sports haven't got a monopoly on Champions League anymore. But from like a personal point of perspective, from personal perspective, and like how I've grown up watching Champions League football, it's just going to be very different. And I'm not sure about the BT Sports panelists. I know they've got like shit. Steven Gerrard now and that, but like Michael Neville and them, just horrific. So I'm not sure how it's going to be like as a viewer.
I'm in agreement, but I think if I'm correct, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think actually Rio Ferdinand is going to be one of the presenters for their panel actually for the Champions League.
Even him, I've seen him like, I don't think he's that good. I saw him during the World Cup. He wasn't that great to me.
The analysis, the level of analysis, it depends what you're looking for, as good as Neville and Carragher. Neville and Carragher, I've shown levels. They're proper showing levels, and like, they really did well to replace Andy Gray. Because like, I thought that was going to be difficult, but Neville was probably it was a genius appointment.
Neville and Carragher don't do the Champions League, though, do they?
Do they not?
No, they don't do the Champions League analysis, but they do.
No.
They just do the Monday Night Football together, and no, I think they do Gary Neville does the Gary never does Sundays as well, isn't it? Yeah. Super Sundays.
Yeah. They don't do that. My bad. The Champions League.
But the Champions League usually done, but I think Graham Souness usually does the Champions League,
doesn't he? Yeah, well, anything's better than fucking Graham Souness, surely.
Yeah, Graham Souness.
Nah, Michael Owen, bruv. Michael Owen is horrific.
But is Michael Owen going to be involved in it?
Bruv, he's going to be a commentator. Imagine Michael Owen commentating on Juventus versus bloody AC Milan or whatever in the Champions League semis or whatever. It'll be so boring, bruv. It's like, oh...
No, to be fair, I won't be surprised if they get some new.
Well, they've got Gary Lineker, haven't they?
What, BT Sport?
Sorry? Yeah, Gary Lineker's going to join BT Sport.
Andy Townsend.
Not Seb. What? They got Andy Townsend?
Yeah, didn't you know?
Oh, he's a waste, man. He's a waste, man. He needs to take that bet note somewhere else, bro.
I hate him so much, man.
But I want to know, like, why BT Sports got all of the... all the games for both
because they paid like five times more.
But
that's ridiculous. If that was like a business, no one would ever allow that to happen for them to take everything. That's bizarre. It's crazy.
Yeah, but they're trying to take over. That's why they bought out what's his name as well, isn't it? EE. They're going to be taking. I think that's going to be rebranded at the end of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
What's the network
that they're doing? Or
yeah, the EE the network. Yeah, they bought it. They bought EE out as well.
Hopefully I get some good signal then, flipping pagans. But anyway, BT's analysis, like from the games I've been watching, they get the 12 o'clock games, is it? On the Saturday. Yeah, the analysis is...
It's poor.
It's shambolic at best.
They're European football, so if they were to get people like Raphael Honigstein involved... Horncastle...
Do you think that's going to work though? Because... Like, wouldn't they like their main guys, which are the British guys on the Premier League, wouldn't they get priority on the games, especially on the English games?
Well, I ain't
trying to hear McManaman and flipping Big Nose Townsend and he's out.
But they may keep like a separate team. They may have a Premier League.
Yeah, I think they'll have a.
Oh, hopefully,
man. They won't do that still.
But then if they're playing a German team, they already have Rafa Honigstein on their board. So if they're playing a German team, they might bring him in. If they're playing a French team, they might bring Julien Leroy. If they bring they might use their connects that way. Do you know what I mean? And then that will actually give us some decent views. But the thing is, for me, the games, like the most important things about the commentary, like you think about what we've lived and what we've grown up in the Champions League, like crazy Olympiacos goal for Gerrard. And it was just a commentary that cushion down header for Gerrard. They're not going to have that, bro, because BT are crap, bro. You've got man like Savage chatting shit.
I can't wait to hear Michael Owen say something like, I don't know, Berrettino is better than Messi.
But even with Sky Sports, you don't get that kind of commentary anymore.
No, you do. It depends on what games you watch. I think you get a bit with Gary Neville. But I think, to be honest with you, that all that commentation is more associated with Andy Gray. I think Andy Gray was the guy when it came to commentary.
His commentary was like the Perez goal against Villa. Like he made certain goals even better. Like, even like when we see sick goals now, like I was watching a few United games this season, and the commentary doesn't really fill you with goosebumps really like how Andy with Andy Gray. But in terms of what's going on the game,
one was Gary Neville, wasn't it? It was where who's
what was that, Torres? The good thing with Neville though is that he gives you like a tactical like analysis of what's going on in the game, which is quite a good thing for the viewer. But I don't know, we'll see.
I think spot on though, man. With replacing Andy Gray as the analyst, he's definitely smashed it.
Definitely filled those boots.
I think the commentary boots.
Isn't it like a two-pronged thing where it's like the panelists and then the actual commentators?
Yeah, so
they might try a new format and stuff, though. Well, they may try to reshuffle things. They might make it a little bit more interactive between the commentary team and the punditry team. Punditry team. Because I think I've seen a few times where was it Sky Sports recently? They had like the pundits talk. Maybe it was Champions League final. They had the pundits talking during the game itself.
I think they done that last year in the Champions League final as well. It's only on the final that we really do that.
Well, the thing is with BT, they have a lot. I know this for a fact. BT have a lot of young people working, very innovative young people working for them, and it wouldn't surprise me if they came up with like some crazy ideas for just revamping the whole setup.
I'm looking at their lineup. They've already confirmed their lineup for the Champions League coverage. It's going to be Gary Neville. Oh, sorry, not Gary Neville. Gary Lineker, Glenn Hoddle, Steven Gerrard, and Rio Ferdinand.
The thing is, they are coming out with ideas. I mean, it would be good if they try and innovate, because, like, for example, where they have their little mini pitch indoors and they try and show things and get the pros to like hit things, top bins and stuff. So they are trying, and let's see how they're doing it. Let's give them a chance at least.
All right, cool. Let's move on. Let's actually move on to a bit of transfers, then we'll talk a bit about the Copa America as we wrap things up, okay? So there's a few transfer stories going on. One question here from KG3_official is, where do you think Petr Cech will end up?
Arsenal.
Shame.
I think Arsenal. I think he's at a stage in his career where he doesn't really want to be unsettled, especially with his family. So he's going to have to relocate. He doesn't want to have to relocate his children.
Does that mean Arsenal are a bigger club than Man United then?
No, it just means it's more convenient for Petr Cech to go family. To.
Yeah. God, I can't wait for the tweets if he comes.
Wayne basically just said like about half an hour ago or something like that, that Cech's, I don't know how he knows this, but Cech's booked his place for kids in private school next year in London.
Where? Oh, in London. Oh,
In London, so.
God, that guy just goes through rubbish bins or something. He's mad. He gets some crazy gossip, but yeah. All right, cool. So unanimously Arsenal. So where's that leave Man United with the goalkeeper situation? Is that because De Gea, I'm assuming, is
Hugo Lloris.
Victor Valdez.
Yay. I think Victor Valdez is good enough, to be honest with you.
You don't think he's good enough?
I think he is good enough, to be honest. Okay. But
yes, allow him, man.
You think they'll pay the Levy tax? Levy tax for Lloris?
Yeah, that's what I think. Lloris
Levy
is
tax. Man United.
Levy
Man
tax.
Man United can't buy from Spurs with a normal price, bro.
No, they can't
buy from Spurs with a normal price. He hates you guys.
We can't even buy a Levy tax. We have to pay like, I don't even know what type. We'll probably have to take him to court to accept our money.
Harry
Redknapp
tax.
Yeah, we can't. But yeah, it's peak for us. No, go on, speak. All sorry, right. Don't.
Where is if Arsenal do get Petr Cech, what's going to happen with
Ospina needs to get sold, mate. Chesney. That's what needs to happen.
I will smuggle Ospina out of the country myself. I will kidnap him from his little house.
Yeah, but being logical, I doubt he's going to leave.
No, I like, don't.
Nah, nah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I think Chesney will be sent out alone.
That's what I think as well.
Chesney sent alone, I will actually cry real tears.
But I think he will. I think he probably will end up in another Premier League club on the loan. Why? So he can go drink water elsewhere?
No,
that's an idiot, man.
Wait, what's your problem with loans, Io, bruv? Like, you have issues with loans.
No. Think about it, yeah? You've been an established player playing first team ball in 5 years and they just send you out on loan like you're some sket. Like,
it might be good for him.
Yeah, what's wrong with being on loan, though? I don't care what's wrong with being on loan. I mean, in this context, yeah, Chesney just deserves to go on loan. Generally speaking, there's nothing going on. There's nothing wrong with going
on. Yeah, it's like 12 years
Chesney old. He's 24 years old. He's 24 years old. He's a baby for a keeper, man. He can go on loan, calm.
Okay.
I think we should send him and Welbeck to the same team, bro.
Welbeck can't start for Crystal Palace at this moment of time, bro. I can't even lie to you, bro.
Anyway,
Crystal Palace are going in, though.
Yeah. Anyway, I did have another question for.
I got a question for you, actually. Switching things up a bit, innovative. No, but basically. One of the lads must have tweeted, I think MK Green, and he must have said, Sterling, because obviously the story about City rejecting, City's £30 million bid being rejected. Mm. Yeah, and they Liverpool were in 50 M's. He was like, no way. Everyone was basically saying, no, Sterling's worth 50 million. And I'm saying, I think he is. Like, where do you guys stand on that?
I don't think it's value. I don't think it's value in terms of the market. However, if you're buying a player, like an English player from an English club, you're always going to get a certain tax for that, so you're going to pay over the odds. Sterling is probably, I mean, he won the Golden Boy, innit? So, like, if he won the Golden Boy ahead of, like, young man, like, Götze, Isco and all that, man, then, boy, like, that's saying something, do you know what I mean? So, I wouldn't say 50 million is market value, but
I think
you're going to have to pay it because if you're an English club.
I think that when it comes down to Sterling, I think we should put him in perspective. I think the second half of the season, with all the stress, as you call it, about his contract negotiations, I think that's had a toll on his performances, and he hasn't really shone like he did like earlier in the season and last season. So if we like pretend that the second half of the season didn't happen, I do kind of think he is value for money because he was Liverpool's guy before. I know Steven Gerrard was there.
Hello.
Yeah, I know Steven Gerrard was their leading scorer, but before I think he got 8 and Sterling got 7. So before he came to the forefront at the end of the season, it was all about Raheem Sterling. He was their guy. And I think, bearing that in mind, he is worth 50 million, in my personal opinion, coupled with the.
No, that's the key, for the key thing. People would pay 50 million to Liverpool.
People would pay 50 million, 100%.
Who would pay 50 million?
I think Man City would.
Man City would pay.
It's such a desperate bastard.
Let's think about the players who have gone for 60 million and what they're, I mean 50 million, sorry, and what they are, or 50 and over. Like, is he going to have the Ozil impact? Is he going to have like as good as Torres was at Liverpool? Is he that level of player? Is he that caliber? Like, he's not that top level yet.
Yeah, James. Nobody consider James as top level.
Yeah, Kaka. Like,
oh, you know, but okay. Look at but look at James Rodriguez, for example. Before that World Cup, yeah, I promise you, if I was to tweet, who would you rather sign right now? And this is in England. Who would you rather sign right now, Raheem Sterling or James Rodriguez? How many people out of 10 would you still reckon would say James Rodriguez? I bet you no more than 3 or 4. Everyone would have said Raheem Sterling, but James Rodriguez went for £64 million. See what I'm saying? So I think he's probably an example of maybe more. Obviously, he's quite inflated with the World Cup and that, but like he's also a potential buy. So I think Sterling's potential buy. But let's take things into consideration. First things first. Like England are quite a big club internationally, and he's a guaranteed starter for England. He's one of the key players. Even Hodgson said that he's one of Liverpool's key players, and they're one of the biggest clubs in England. He's a star. He's also young, so you're paying for his potential upscale. He's English as well, so there's a tax on that. and he's a rival, so it's a tax on that. So, like, it does kind of make sense. Like, everyone keeps... He doesn't... Obviously, in terms of value for money, if you look at the market, no, it's not value for money, because you could probably get a world-class player for about 40 M's, like, as you've seen with Mesut Ozil, Alexis Sanchez, and Di Maria costs like 9 million more than 50, etc., etc. But I do think it's a worthwhile investment. And at the end of the day, if he goes, say he goes to City for 50 M's and he bangs, nobody will care about the price. That's true. And that's it.
True. But I would you take him for Man United for 50 million?
Not 50 million, because...
So what would be the maximum you would pay and then just tell Liverpool to shove it if they don't accept it?
In the 40s, like, look, I don't know. Ugh, this sounds really silly, because, to be fair, if Man had bid 50 million tomorrow and Liverpool accepted it, I wouldn't care less, because at the end of the day, they'll still charge me 40 bar for a ticket, £40 for a kit. It ain't gonna make a difference to me. So I'd rather them spend the money on players than them put it in their pockets. So I'd rather put the money in players' wages or get a new players for us to watch. So yeah, I wouldn't mind. I think he's a really talented footballer. And I just want to see, and it'd be good to see, like, I don't know, it'd be good to see, like, a young British player being bigged up like this. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's always a foreign, like, would it be the most expensive English player of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the most expensive? I think it might be Andy Carroll, you know? That's the most expensive English player of all time.
Yeah, it is.
Jesus. Bloody hell.
Big up Liverpool FC.
Wow.
Wow. Andy Carroll, Stuart Downing, and Jordan Henderson. Big up Liverpool FC.
No,
James Milner. Big up Liverpool FC.
Guys. Andy Carroll was the most expensive English footballer of all time.
Man.
Do you know how bad that is?
Who's the Shala second?
Kenny Dalglish.
Second.
Second is Rio Ferdinand.
Rio Ferdinand. Probably
like 29, wasn't he?
Yeah, then probably Wiser.
Yeah.
Wiser.
Wait, no. Rio, like 32?
That's 27.
Yeah, it's 27 million.
God, that's a bargain right now. But you would have, but back then you would have looked at 27 million for Rooney, and that's probably about a 50 mil for
Sterling
right now. Yeah, exactly. If you're not going to tell her, most expensive British player would be Gareth Bale, no?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
No, I said English player.
Oh, English.
Yeah, we don't care about Welsh, aren't you? No, I'm joking. No, but yeah.
That's right, we only have like two Welsh listeners anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I do think Sterling's worth that quarter. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, I just thought I would ask you lot, see what you lot thought.
All right, cool.
I know Arsenal wouldn't do that deal, man.
All right.
Arsenal stingy.
Arsenal get value, bruv. Arsenal always get value in the market.
Yeah, we get value. We'll piss off.
50 million for Sterling make me sick.
Piss off, bruv. You get value.
It'll make me sick. I will be sick, bruv.
You paid, how much you paid for those? Just a scrub it up, dumb.
10 mil.
Just a scrub it up, dumb. Get out of
here. Are you dumb, bruv?
Get out of here. Just a scrub it up, dumb. Bro's, he's sick. Is that what
10 mil.
Before you move on from Sterling, can sick? I just... Before you move on from Sterling, did you hear about the rumour that Bayern Munich were trying to talk to him, and then they spoke to him, and...
He don't want to go.
Yeah, or something like that.
Well, he
wants to go to London, didn't he?
He said he didn't want to go, but I think they also said that he didn't have the mentality or the qualities that they look for in a Bayern Munich player.
Mm.
Oh, scheme.
Do you know what?
Yeah, you probably told him I'm not interested, and they said that.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe they didn't think they could just control him because as a young player, that's what I
said. If it is about London, why did Man City bid?
Because they know they could get him. Like, listen, for example, like Tevez, he wanted to go back home. Juventus came in, he goes, Italy's better, flipping Milan's better than flipping Manchester. He dipped. I mean, not Milan, Turin's better than Manchester. He dipped. I think a lot of times a player want to go somewhere else, but when an opportunity is put in front of you, you know, take it.
I think the bottom line is he doesn't want to be at Liverpool, so there's an opportunity for him to potentially go anywhere else apart from Liverpool.
Mm.
Yeah,
although his heart is probably set on London, he probably would take the opportunity just to leave Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Liverpool.
Because at the end of the day, if he's going to London, he's only going to Chelsea and Arsenal. And if they don't want him, like, where's he going to go? He can't stay there.
Yeah.
Shout out Liverpool, though, for getting James Milner 150 bags a week.
Shout out Liverpool.
Is that confirmed?
Well, is it confirmed? Is he? I don't know, but that's
You'll never get wages confirmed. You will never get wages confirmed.
Yeah, never go. Well, and Kadira,
how you lot talk about Liverpool, man.
And Kadira's about to get 100k at Juventus, value for money in the market. Shout out Liverpool.
Yeah. On a free transfer as well, boy.
Yeah, I know, boy. And also,
let's move on.
But no, I just forgot one thing, though. Luke Shaw is actually, I think Luke Shaw was 30 mil.
Luke Shaw was 30 mil for Luke Shaw.
Yeah, that's an investment, though. Watch that.
Yeah. So why is Sterling not an investment?
So, yeah, he's an investment. I agree. What are you talking about? Right, I said he
okay. All right, cool.
United just waste money. You're getting booked like City, man. You're just getting booked.
They
like
are.
City,
they're just
man.
A reborn Man City now.
Disgusting.
Hashtag broken. Disgusting, bro.
Not even worse. Man City. But you know what I just remembered as well, yeah? James Milner went to Man City for 26 million, didn't he?
Jesus.
Yeah, he went for peace.
Like, they actually bought him for 26 million.
Fucking hell, man.
Where did he come from?
Aston Villa.
You say?
Okay. Arsenal have been slacking. How many 20 mil players have we actually bought? Like, seriously.
You know, basic.
Nah, bruv, until Ozil, I swear Arsenal was our record signing at, like,
Basically, we bought Wiltord, I think it was. Was it Chambers at 27 million or something like that? No, Chambers was like 16 million. I say Reyes was 20 million, wasn't he? No, Reyes was
10.9 with add-ons. The add-ons would have come on to 20 mil.
Shall I tell you what I love Arsenal fans, yeah? They only mention adults when there's their players, you know. Where's everybody else? Adults don't count. As soon as
the thing is, we only gave them 10.9 mil. We gave them, and that's how much we gave them. Like, simple.
We pay our adults because we always win in it. I forgot about that. Next question, innit?
Yeah, let's move on. You haven't won for 2 years.
Fucking what is
okay. Cool. Elijah, Aliqua Scripto asks.
You say something differently every week.
Huh?
You say something differently. Aliqua. No,
Aliqua. I don't know what Aliqua means. I'm sure he told us once something about something in Latin or something.
Is this the one
these high top guys, bruv?
Probably means hipster in Latin or something, bruv.
Probably. What do you all think of McLaren's appointment as Newcastle manager?
Like, good appointment for the club, man.
Don't care.
Don't care.
I hate that club. I
feel sorry for their fans, man.
I don't. They're deluded. Have you heard them speak? They're deluded.
I was listening to TalkSport once, yeah, and they was like, one of their fans was like, yeah, we've won European trophies. I was like, wait, what have you won? And he named the Intertoto Fairs Cup or something like that.
Yeah, I think because they've got a big stadium, yeah. They think they're a big club. Like, they're actually.
Nah, to be fair, they've got a big stadium, they've got a big fan base, yeah. But the thing is,
there's no other club in Newcastle, isn't it? Sunderland's like 20 miles away or something like that.
And you've got Middlesbrough as well.
Yeah.
Like, Middlesbrough and Tyneside as well. But I think, to be honest, it's a good appointment for them. But they should never have got rid of Pardew, to be honest.
The reason I chose this question is why would, as a manager, go to Newcastle right now? So, like, McLaren, he's still reasonably young. He's got a lot to give the game. He's English. Why would he risk his career going to someone like Newcastle right now?
Didn't he get fired from his last job?
Money.
I think he got fired at Derby. I don't know if he got fired.
No, he got fired.
How did they not make the playoffs?
They capitulated as soon as the Newcastle rumours started coming from McLaren. Capitulated.
Wait. Ask Klopp. So, what's his name? Got sacked. The Newcastle guy then.
No, Carver.
Carver just went back to his old role.
No. He left. He's left the club.
What, Steve Carver?
Yeah, him and his assistant have left the club.
I
swear, like, 4 weeks ago, he was talking the most crud. He was like, yeah, I'm the best manager in the Premier League, I believe.
He never said that.
He said he's the best coach in the country.
No. He said he has to believe he is the best coach in the country.
I don't know what type of belief that one be, boy. Anyway, shout out Carver, though.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's quickly talk a little bit about Copa America since it's starting tonight. Guys, any team to watch in the Copa America? Anyone? Someone mentioned Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yeah.
Watch them get tanned every game.
Man, Jamaica.
Who even plays for Jamaica?
Shout out to Jamaica.
Apparently, Cavani said something about, African teams always hard to pick.
He said, he asked about Jamaica, he said, yeah, like they're like any African team, they're strong. And then in his apology, he said, oh, I'm sorry, like, I didn't mean to compare Jamaica to something like that. And he said, called them an African team again in the apology. Like, all the Jamaicans are all crying, bro.
I can't wait to watch them get tanned. But aren't they in the same group as Uruguay and who else? It's another big team.
It doesn't matter who they're in a group with, they are going to get out.
Oh, Argentina as well.
That could be harsh, mate. Who are we going for? Argentina or Brazil is... as the team.
Argentina have the best team, bruv. Their team is cold.
Yeah, but they don't seem to ever be able to click.
Well, they got to the World Cup finals last time.
They'll be fine.
I know, but it was...
Nah, man, they'll be fine.
Okay, but look at this team.
Especially with this Messi. Even with this Messi. Now, to be honest with you, they've always had this... The quality's always been there.
Nah, not this good, though. Not this good. This team...
Their team is lit. Zabaleta, Rojo, Otamendi, Garay. They've got Mascherano,
Benega.
But it doesn't matter. Like Messi will lick shots. Like
from time you got guys like I don't know. All the hipsters are going on about Vieto, Icardi, and Dybala. And
they haven't even made squad, have they?
Yeah, and neither did Nicolas Gaetan. Like that's how good their squad is.
What,
like.
That Man United player for the last. Four years.
That guy's been him and Cassie has been linked to United and Arsenal. United and Arsenal since I had an iPhone 3GS. Like it's just flipping boring as hell. But yeah, no, their team and I've been watching them play. They just look on fire. Like it's gonna be hard to beat them.
Did you watch them versus Bolivia the other day?
That was a joke.
Oh man, disgusting.
Was it five or six? Well, it was five, and I stopped watching. Now it's like this is getting ridiculous. So I stopped. Mm. But yeah.
What about like a dark horse? Is anyone fancy?
Maybe Chile?
Yeah. Because we said Chile is a dark horse for the World Cup, didn't we?
And Lehmann, Lexi.
Uruguay as well. Uruguay, they're good defensively and they've got two like.
I hope Chile go out in the group stages, man.
Yeah, I hope Argentina lose in the first round so Di Maria can come home and automatically can sign.
What about Colombia?
But Di Maria hasn't played half the season, so he doesn't really need a rest.
But yeah, really? So he went to go play at RG's and he looked way.
It's what happens when you play good players, isn't it?
Wow. That was no need for that.
It's what happens when you get out of that Man United poison chalice, like that old stuff.
The Latin killers.
Kill every Latin player, or you just stick them flipping British guys, bro. Like, we'll have some any scrub here, they'll turn up, we'll sign a Latin baller and they'll flop. But yeah, Colombia, they've got a very good team as well. Well, like,
yeah, United. Colombia.
Falcao scored 5 and 5.
But he's banging. He's banging for Colombia. He came well, bro. Latin
killers, man.
Yeah, they got
this Old Trafford.
United are actually a joke, you know.
Well, I know. My peak. But Colombia are one of my favourite teams to watch, though. I actually love watching Colombia play, so hopefully they do well.
Right. I mean, Falcao actually looks good, though. Like, and you watch the qualifying, he just keeps scoring.
I know, it's so irritating. And Di Maria plays for Argentina, and the guy's playing at the world's best sitting before.
Against Bolivia, Di Maria was crazy, bro.
He was doing bits. As soon as he comes to Manchester, he plays like he's drunk.
Bam, everyone does.
Louis van Gaal.
Latin players need to come Arsenal, bro. Because like we make them shine in it.
Oh, you don't. You got the best. You got the British core in it, Lewis.
Yeah, that's our identity.
Nah, then you don't have an identity.
We do have an identity.
You've had British players for like 3 seasons. In our identity.
No, we haven't.
Yes, you have.
We just haven't had any good players for them.
Yeah, they never used to play. Actually, Cole said that he had no friends because no one would spoke English in the dressing room.
What, you mean?
It seems that 90% of our British core would get into your first team.
Yeah.
Who? Like who?
Let's just leave it there.
Reed.
Wilsh, Ramsey, Gibbs.
Gibbs. Gibbs
quite a late Chamberlain.
Gibbs quite a bench Dorito. You come in the team and play for Manchester United. Ramsey, no. Wilshere, maybe. Oxlade-Chamberlain.
No.
You wouldn't take Ramsey in your team, are you sick?
Wow. Ahead of who?
Herrera. Your mag is out of date.
Where's Oxlade going to play?
Ahead of Asher Young, that's for sure.
Black Royce.
Are you crazy?
Wait, are we really doing it?
Are you sure Black Royce is doing?
Young over
Oxlade-Chamberlain. Hold on, just say Black Royce, please.
Why do we always end with people talking like they're drunk?
Black Royce was one of the best wingers of the Premiership this season. I've never seen Oxlade
Chamberlain. Don't call him that. You make me sick.
That's his name, though. Okay, what should we call him after he was making Bellerin hopscotch?
Five, he wasn't making Bellerin hopscotch, man. Bellerin went out the night before and he had a few too many.
Actually, I gave it to him, bro.
Actually, I gave it to him, fam.
Yeah, that's right. Alex Chamberlain was given... put Shaw out for the season, I swear.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, literally, like, yeah, Shaw was injured from then on.
The thing is, I've never seen Shaw get torn apart. Chamberlain, he made him pull a hammy, that was a bit mad. But he wouldn't start, especially with that shit high top.
He would start, bro.
He's not better than Mata, nor is he better than Di Maria. Or let alone Black Royce.
We don't play Di Maria.
Listen,
you don't play Dean Barrio, you play Ashley Young, and also Tim Lillard.
We've got Memphis Depay as well, and he's not better than Depay, so take time.
Ashley Young is 10 times better.
No, he's not. Black Royce.
He is. Bro, don't call him that. Bro, I'm going to scuff you.
I don't know who Ashley Young is, but I know who Black Royce is. And he's better than.
Right. Well, anyway,
I'd like to say it's a disgrace that Black Royce didn't get picked for England. It's an absolute disgrace. And I'm seeing that man like Vardy.
Guys like who?
Vardy.
Oh, no, that's a disgrace, isn't it? Can you imagine, though? Jamie Vardy, come and do the business for England. Fire us to a European Championship. Maybe Nick can move to Man United.
Scheme. Yeah, I don't know.
He'll go Liverpool. £15 million.
He was going on his England debut in Liverpool. Like, yeah, that's it.
£27 million plus Abel.
Take Sterling the other way.
Give him like a nine. Give him a 9-year contract and then can't sell him off.
170 bags.
All right, guys.
And then Brendan would be like, "I need some players."
Let's leave it there, guys. Today's pod has been interesting. Guys, listen. Obviously, take a listen on iTunes. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a like on SoundCloud, a review on iTunes as well, and tell all your friends about us, you know. We'll see you next week. Woo-hoo!
It wasn't easy, but nothing is. No. When I feel heavy metal, and I feel that I need a when I lie and I'm itchy all of the time, but I'm never sure when I'm itchy. It's not my problem. It's not my